this blessing, this opportunity now. We are in each other's presence, and we're going to be opening God's Word. We're going to be sharing our preparation. We're endeavoring this month and next month to prepare ourselves to respond to errors that the world may attempt to convince us to believe that aren't consistent with God's Word. These are very common. These are very likely going to come up in a conversation. One of these out of these 100 errors I present to you, very likely going to come up in a conversation with you. You may have this month, or you'll come across an article or something online, or hear, read something related to an error pertaining to faith. And we want to have prepared ourselves to respond to that. And how can we prepare ourselves? By giving attention to God's Word, by being familiar and being ready. So we'll do that tonight. Get prepared to respond to errors by giving attention to God's Word. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Error of category 3. Oh, yeah. We're going to finish at 7:40. Right? That's the plan. We're going to stop 5 minutes early. So we're going to have to cover a lot. So we are in category 3, error 9. This is just to organize our thoughts. This category is about the subject of faith and grace, and law and works and baptism. We've covered 8 errors previous. Several of those verses that we've covered so far in this category can be used in this final error or claim or position that people may hold. And you may have heard people make this claim before, that you get baptized so that the people at the church you want to attend will recognize you as a member of their church. And that's why you get baptized. Is that why you got baptized? Is that what baptism's for? How would you respond to someone who presents that this is what baptism is for? Do you have a Bible verse that you would use to respond to what baptism's for? Thank you. Acts 2:38. We've mentioned Acts 2:38 several times. It's a very helpful, informative passage, right? Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized." Do you want to read it? Thank you. Repent and be baptized for what? For the forgiveness of sins. This question is essentially, what is baptism for? That's a great passage to indicate what it's for. Added to the church, then who are being saved? That's at the end of Acts 2:38. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be looking at what the Holy Spirit, what we should understand about what people receive when they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit versus other effects of the Holy Spirit when we talk about miracles. But in this case, the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's made evident by who is being added to the church, those who are being saved. There, they've received the gift of salvation and been added to the church. Thank you. Good. Acts 22:16.
Now Paul was converted in Acts 9, and later on he Mm-hmm. It wasn't because he was baptized, you know, and I can prove that it was what he was doing.
Right. In this case, with Paul getting baptized, we're just missing the phrase that you do this to be recognized by members of the church as a Christian. We see it's connected with washing away your sins. So, you know, in all these errors, you can always follow them up with, why do you believe that? And then they may go on to tell you. They may just give you their thoughts. They may try to present a verse, and then you could look at that verse with them. But then you want to present to them, and then I'll call this is when you go on offense. This is when you begin to print, this is when you present them passage after passage after passage that indicates what baptism was for. And that's how you arrive at what baptism's for. You look to the Word, and so you turn to the Word and find out what it's for. So here we have it in Acts 2:38, we have it for the forgiveness of sins. In Acts 22:16, wash away your sins. Any other verses you might want to respond to about what baptism is for? Mind reading that, Brandon? First Peter 3:21. Corresponding to that.
Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not removal of dirt from the flesh, but the fears of God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Good. And this is a verse we've used once or twice before in this study. So these errors can be reformulated in many ways. But the Word doesn't change that we're going to be referencing. The Bible doesn't change. That's what's great about it. It's never an error. It's always been applicable. So we're going to use these passages to address these errors, whether how they're formulated. When the subject of baptism comes up and what it's for, you present the verses, the Word that informs us on what baptism is. Seeing there is. And here we have 1 Peter 3:21 informing us what baptism is for. What we're missing there is you did this in order to be recognized by people in your church as a member of their church. What we have here is what baptism is for, that baptism saves you. I've got Romans 6, verse 4. Actually, I'd like to start from verse 3. I'm going to read Romans. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ is from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. So, someone's presenting to you why to get baptized. And they have their thoughts. They say why they think someone should get baptized. And then we respond with, here's what the Bible say, what baptism is for.
My question is, Josh, where do they get the authority to say that in the first place? What do they use to show that it's making you a member of a certain church, you know, the Baptist church?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned one, Romans 2, where it said they were being added to the church. So if they place their emphasis on, see, it's to be added to the church. And so you get baptized so that you can be added to the church. And the church now sees them as added. You see, there's the point. What about all the other, what about all the rest of the message about the repenting and the baptism for the forgiveness of sins and the adding them to that are saved? It's a bias. It's a reading into it, the intention to make an impression on the viewers. So they may use other passages that talk about folks who have been added to the church and that were baptized, but we still just go back to the question: what was it for? And that's why we bring up the passages that say, here's what baptism is for. Anyone had an encounter with someone who says why they think it's for the church? I've heard them say that. I haven't followed up with them on what Bible verses they had for it, but it's easy to find this this idea. Either way, the way we can respond to them is, here are the Bible verses that tell you what baptism's for, and just tell them. Any other Bible verses someone might have, or anyone know have more about what God's Word said about what baptism is for? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. I'd like to read 24 through 29 there. Galatians 3, 24 through 29. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. He goes on the list in verse 28. You could call these identities or categories or types of people. And people can try to divide themselves or categorize or tribe themselves. But when you enter into Christ's body and are baptized into Christ, you are one in Christ. That's your identity. That's who you are before God. He's not a respecter of persons or one to show partiality. Whoever has come to Christ and has been baptized into Christ is clothed in Christ and are one in Christ. Why are we looking at these verses? They tell us what baptism is for. So if someone is trying to tell you what baptism is for, and they haven't presented these verses, if they haven't presented what baptism is for, they're not telling you what the word is, what God's word tells you what baptism is for. You look to God's word to find out what baptism is for. Any other verses? Lisa? Good point. So about him being a member of a church, he is a member of Christ's body, the one church. as far as being a member of a local church, which I suspect someone who's espousing this error is promoting, is you do this to join a local membership. But that's a good point in that we see there again what baptism's for. He heard the gospel and responded to the gospel. It is our response to the gospel in baptism. But you do bring up another good point. When someone, every one of these words in these errors, they have to be understood. You probably detected I brought a bias assumption into this error that I think they're saying this is a local church. So I don't want to give people the impression if someone tells you an erroneous idea, you can try to understand further. You don't try to understand them more. You just start saying verses to them. You can try to under. Okay. Any other verses for this subject of what baptism's for? Thank you. Mm-hmm. We're doing this to equip ourselves so that we can spread the gospel, spread the word to others, and to better inform ourselves so that we can have a better understanding of the truth. So we're giving attention to the word and appreciate y'all presenting your passages. Yes, Jamie? Good. I don't know if you heard, Jamie, but that's what Miss Ottersbach was saying, too. I'm glad to hear y'all are both on the same page. Acts 9, you can present that as a case of someone being baptized and still seeking to become a member of a church, yet they had already been baptized. And that's Paul. Or seeking to associate with the church. So thank you, Jamie. That was good. It's sometimes hard to hear the people up at the front. Okay. Any other passages for this error? Okay. Well, that was the last one for category 3. If y'all are willing, let's try to do a 5-10 minute blitz. Y'all remember what the blitz is? You don't have to try to bring them up, Rocky. I'm going to present the errors that we've discussed so far. And this will be a good exercise for you to attempt to remember a verse, a buzz phrase that you remember is applicable to these errors. Ready? Someone comes up to you and says, "There is no God." Do you have a Bible verse that you might use to respond to it? Yeah, this one last one. What you got? Romans 1:21. And my buzz phrase for that is clearly seen through what has been made. Invisible attributes, his divine nature, his eternal power, clearly seen through what cannot know. You cannot know that there is a God. Does anyone have a Bible verse that you, this is the agnostic idea, that you cannot know that there is a God? This is the agnostic. Same verse and the next verse, right? Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart darkened. Goals are subjective. A Bible verse response to that. Jesus, what did Jesus say about truth and morals or truth? That word is truth. Wait, and what passage was that?
John 17:17.
Truth. The life. Okay. It doesn't matter. All right. Error 4. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you are a good person. Matthew 7:21. That's a good answer to a lot of these. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does my Father who is in heaven will enter. I had John 3:16. For God's His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him. All right, we're still going with our blitz. You can start looking down for the next ones if you want to have one ready. I feel in my heart that I am right. My heart can determine what's right. Do you have it there? Do you have it there? There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the way thereof is death. Okay. Error 6. There are so many exclusive religions, none of them can be this single truth. None of them can be the one truth. None of them can be the one faith. Thank you. Good. That's the one. I like to think that the buzzword is that is one faith. There is one body. You mind reading it, Keith? Do you have it up?
Yeah, Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
Good. Thank you. Okay. The Bible cannot be trusted. It has been corrupted. What could we use to help us be anything that helps us be confident about it? Anything you're familiar with? Good. Good. I'm glad you said Isaiah and mentioned the Septuagint. And that brings us back to the idea of there are manuscripts. I think of Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, found in the Dead Sea, but this document, essentially identical to the Isaiah 53 we're reading now, but this document was nearly 2,000 years old and it had not changed. So we have a preserved, intact, reliable word. And that can be investigated further by investigating the manuscripts. Okay. You should find a church that suits you best. Does the Bible warn us about that? Good. Yeah. What's your kind of... Teachers were to tell. I remember ears tickled. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. That is a response of the Bible about warning us about finding a church that suits you best. I cannot accept a religion which implies my loved one was wrong or lost. Do you remember a Bible verse we would use to respond to that? Or an idea? If someone says, I just can't accept that faith. That would mean I'd be like I'm saying my mom was lost. Right. If you're putting your love and your connection with your mother ahead of your soul's eternity, your submission to God. Can't follow. You forfeited that, putting Christ first. Okay. A good God would not allow evil and suffering. A good God would not allow evil and suffering.
John 3:16.
Good. He gave His only begotten Son. He loved the world so much, He would save the world through the suffering of His Son. You said John 3:16, right? Okay, now on to the Calvinistic ideas. God's sovereignty denies man's free will. Bible verse for that? Thank you. Good. Now, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Choose. Choice. You have a choice to make here. And it's up to you to choose it. Serve God or serve idols. Man is born in sin, having inherited the guilt of sin from Adam. Inherited guilt of sin. Good. 14:20. Y'all remember that verse? We've been referencing that some. We referenced that with the infant baptism. Ezekiel 8, Romans 5:12. Say again. Ezekiel 18:20. That's a good one too. Will not visit the father's sin. I hope it is. I hope I didn't get that wrong. Right. And for this one, I think some of this idea is born out of the Romans 5 section. So in Romans 5:12, through one man's sin, and because the emphasis on the last few words of that verse, because all sinned. As opposed to infants who haven't sinned. Guilty of sin. Man sins because he inherited a depraved human nature from Adam. Is that why man sins? Because of this inherited nature? Why does man sin? You think of a Bible verse that speaks to that? Excellent. Thank you, Craig. Each one when he is tempted is drawn away by his own lust. Adam, not there, but he still sinned. Okay. God has unconditionally elected certain people to be saved and certain others to be condemned. And that number cannot be changed. Unconditional. Elected. I have John 3:16. Whoever believes in him will not perish. Whoever believes. Unconditional election removes the opportunity for us to believe, for it to be an opportunity to come to know God and choose to believe him. Not wishing for any. Not wishing for any to perish. Good. Christ died only for those who God unconditionally elected. He died only for those who God unconditionally elected. Did he die? Whoever believes, right? In John 3:16, a good one for knocking down a lot of these pillars of Calvinism. I have Hebrews 2:9. Tasted death for everyone. He tasted death for everyone. Hmm? Matthew 28:18-20. Make disciples of all the nations. Make disciples of all the nations. Okay. Man cannot understand the Bible without the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Where's Mike? Man cannot understand the Bible without the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Anyone know the passage in Ephesians for this one? Ephesians 3:4. When you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. When you read, you can understand. Those unconditionally elected by God to salvation are born again by an irresistible act of the Holy Spirit, wherein faith is implanted in their hearts. That's a long one. Unconditionally elected, faith implanted in their hearts. They cannot resist it. This is this unconditional election. Acts 10:34. Not one to show partiality. God is not one to show partiality. People who are saved by grace of God, by the grace of God, cannot sin to be lost. What Bible verse would you use to respond to that? People who are saved by grace, by the grace of God, cannot so sin as to be lost.
2 Peter 2:20.
If after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. They had escaped the defilements, and then they get entangled again. The last state is worse. I had Galatians 5:4, because I remember the word severed. You have been severed. You were connected. You were severed from Christ, you who seek to be justified by the law. Hebrews 6:6. And then have fallen away. Yeah, just remember the phrase fallen away. And it'll bring you to this verse. They have tasted the good word and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away. All right, Christ's life of his life of righteousness is imputed to the sinner when he is saved. His deeds, his action, his perfection, his refrainment from sin, that becomes your life. Is that true? How would you respond to that? Do you have a Bible verse response to that? I have 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Romans 4:5. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Okay, thank you. We didn't blitz through category 3. We'll pick that up on the next blitz. Okay, well, we'll have to start category 4. Well, do we have 1 minute? Okay, give me 1 minute. We're going to start talking about charismatic gifts, Holy Spirit baptism, and apostolic succession. I just wanted to cover one. This is category 4, error 1. You must believe that God still works miracles today, as during Bible times. Someone has brought up miracles in this claim. Miracles should still be happening today, as during Bible times. That's a really loaded statement to make. They haven't quoted a Bible verse. What I would first like to do is look at what the Bible says about why miracles were happening, what they were for, what were their purpose, so we can get on the same page about why miracles happened in the first place. Okay. Well, so now we've started category four. If everyone has category four, if you can be preparing Bible verses that relate to verses that errors, verses that indicate what miracles were for, you're probably going to be looking for verses that say miracles confirm the word. Miracles are a sign to confirm the validity of the speaker. Who was performing the miracles? Everybody? Was it a certain type of person? And why could that certain type of person be able to form those miracles? Please find Bible verses. These verses about miracles will help us answer almost every one of these questions that we're going to cover in the in this. I'll call this the miracle category. Okay? Thank you.